Well, I have so much to say today. It's going to be hard to try to condense that. God bless America. My prayer is America, bless God. You know? But we are blessed here. Thank you, Amy. It's good. I love my country, even though it's temporary. Okay, a dancing pastor. Emails that you get this week asking for money. No one spiked my Pepsi on the 4th of July, okay? Wow, what a week. Jim said that, Pete, I was getting ready to send you money. Let's talk a little later. I do have some fundraising to do for SoulQuest this summer, our ministry we started. So, well, have you ever been in a life situation, life circumstance, where you wanted assurance? You wanted some guarantees, some certainties. Haven't you been there? Life's unpredictable, work is fluctuating, people are temperamental, our culture is changing, and finances are always in flux, right? It carries over to other areas of life where we want assurances, like we can know for certain. Have you ever felt like you spent more money on vacuums than you ever have? I am tired of paying for new vacuums. Or about this, is there packages of cruise packages or vacation packages that don't deliver the goods, right? Have you ever gone on a Hershey roller coaster ride and think, am I gonna make it back? I want my kids in one piece, right? But we laugh at commercials that promise full satisfaction. We wonder if this movie will be as good as our friends say it is. And we squirm over purchasing a used car by a perfect stranger. We want assurances, but they seem elusive. It's a pipe dream, an illusion. Did the court system get the verdict right with hip-hop mogul Diddy? The ceasefire between Iran and Israel, is it going to last? Or can the Philadelphia Phillies get past the Dodgers this year? Very true. Ben Franklin said this in 1789, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Ultimately, though, we wonder, does God provide for us a way to know some things for sure, 100%? Do we have that with God? Remember Abraham? God said to him, go to the land I will show you. In other words, you go, and as you go, I'll show. Did Abraham wonder for a moment, God, could you just give me a hint? Just show me where, and then I'll go. It's not that way. You've heard the story of the hiker that was hiking at dusk, and he fell off a cliff, and just at the last minute, grabbed the branch before his death. He's hanging on, and he's crying out for help. He's hanging there, and he's hanging there. And no one answers until God answers, because he cries out to God, God, please help me. He says, I'm here. He says, please get me out of this. He said, God says to him, do you trust me? He says, yes. I want you to let go. He thinks about it. Maybe God misunderstood. God, could you help me? Yes. What do I need to do? Just let go. And then he thinks for a moment, is there anybody else up there? Just a tongue-in-cheek joke, but isn't it true? Things that God asks us to do, we are not sure. We're in a chapter of John now. We've been in this series that I've called Loveology. John is unpacking what is for certain, what we can know is real. John says 39 times in this book the word know. You can know. And 8 times in this chapter, because the deity of Jesus was under assault, the reality of Jesus and his message was on quicksand in people's minds, because when you read through this book, I mean, I just took 7 weeks, we could have taken 14, but there were false prophets, and there was the spirit of the Antichrist, and this is going on. So people began to wonder what's real. That's why John starts the book out with, we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. We know it's real. This is why he starts that way. And so John centers this epistle on two realities, that God is light and those that know him walk in the light, which means that all darkness, it's here. Nothing to hide, nothing to prove, nothing to lose. That's fellowship. You need that. We need that. Walk in the light as he's in the light. There's nothing there. And so I have people that I go to bring all the darkness out. The second reality is God is love. We've been looking at this. True sons and daughters live in this love and pass on this love. And so it separates those that are true followers and those that are fickle fans. It's like that quote, if it swims like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. If they talk like a believer and walk like a believer, they are believers. This is what John is saying. So let's go to the fifth chapter of John and let's get into some of these realities, things we can know and know for certain. 1 John 5, we're going to read the first five verses and walk through this a little bit here. 1 John 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So here's what I want to do with you this morning is take a look at those things that we can know for sure. I'm just going to look at six. We're going to do an overview. You could really unpack these more because we live in a world of uncertainty. We live in a place where we want things, we want to know that we can know and trust. And so this first reality that John talks about is the existence of reciprocal love. Look what he said. The existence of reciprocal love. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out his commands. Notice it wasn't the other way. This is how we know God. Love God is when we love others. No, it's when we know that we're loving others is when we're loving God. So those are the true children of God. There's a flow. Love received is the love given out. Love for others comes from above. Love with each other comes from above. It's a reciprocal love. Love horizontal comes from love vertical. Love is not a one-way street. It's a roundabout. Just keeps going and going and going. Remember the seven dynamics of God's attachment love? I see you, Jesus says. Second, you're safe with me, with your emotions. I stand by you when you're in trouble. I search for you. I set a table for you in the wilderness. You're secure with me. Now, if you were here that Sunday, now flip it. When that happens to us, then we go to one another. I see you. I see your trouble. I see your heartache. You're safe with me. A lot of us grew up in families where certain emotions were not safe. You did not talk about it. And when you did, it was like, you're not supposed to feel that way. Okay, where do I go with this? I soothe you. This is when we receive, we give. This is the reality of reciprocal love. And John gives us two insights about this. He says the commands of God are not burdensome, and we can overcome the world. We can overcome the world. Wow. Before I was a believer, I used to think, wow, there's a lot that you have to, you know, follow and obey. But you and I know when you're in love, you say, how high? Right? When you're in love, you say, how far? No river's too wide, no mountain too high. What's that song? And then he says, we can overcome the world. Guess what? We can overcome wherever you stand on this, the big, beautiful bill that's coming our way. Right? You can overcome the world. We were looking at that, trying to understand this big, beautiful bill, but we can overcome all things. But how, in the midst of reciprocal love, how is your love tank this week? Summer is a time of vacation. Paul, as we were singing those songs today, I realized that I'm going to a place that creation replenishes. Yellowstone, if you haven't been there, I might come back with pictures to entice you to go. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world, and it's in our own backyard. God's creation replenishes his love. I hope I come back with much love. We know people, Ellen and I, I'll just say this, Dwayne and Leticia are people of love in our lives. They're the kind of people that walk up to us every time and smile and kiss us. Now, Dwayne and I joke about it. Dwayne actually kisses me right here every time. We just went to a baseball game this week and had a blast, just laughed our heads off. They came to visit us in Vermont. They want to come down here. And he jokes, we joke about it. When they come, they'll stand out. They're African American. And I love how they have overcome some of the racism in State College. It's there, but they're people of love. And we love them very much. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Reciprocal love. What can we know for sure? The reality, the birth and life of Jesus Christ is God. We can know this. John mentions three witnesses to this divine reality. Let me read them to you. 1 John 5, 6 to 8 says, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement." Okay, this can be a little bit confusing for people. The water is in recognition of his baptism. He came, and when he was baptized, God gave testimony of his Son, and for those that were there, they heard a voice, and to those that understand who God is, they understood the words, and the words that God said was, "This is my Son, whom I love. I'm very pleased with him." Have you ever been at graduation and they announce the person and they ask them not to cheer until the end? Good luck. My brother just graduated and it was loud. Each person, "My son, my daughter, way to go." All these voices. God, for who he is, sees his Son, stops the world and says, "This is my Son. You I love." Did he need that? As a human, he was God as well. It was an affirmation of who he was. And the Holy Spirit, the first witness is the water, the second witness is his blood. He literally bled. He was human. Why is John saying this? Because in that time, and we'll see it even here today, the flesh was considered evil. This was evil. It contained evil. And so the idea that Jesus was flesh, well, he bled. He was human. This is what John is trying to help us understand. This is why at the crucifixion, the centurion said, "Surely this was the Son of God." And the third witness is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit arrives all throughout Jesus' ministry, testifying to that he is the Son. One of the things we've learned from The Chosen, have you watched any of the episodes, is that it does point to Jesus' divinity, but the more and more I talk with people is it helps people understand his humanity, that he understands our struggles, that he was human just like us. And as a result of that, it elevates our worship of him as one who was a man who overcame with his Father. And so how about you? Do you know that Jesus is God? He can take you anywhere because of that. He's the assurance we have in uncertainty. Yesterday, I spoke with three people. Two of them in a physical battle. One of them, a friend in Colorado, a surgery, a 40% chance that he can make it. That means 60% chance that he will not. And so I gave him Psalm 91, and he said, "Pete, that's exactly what I needed to read." We visited my friend Bob. He was, what his wife told me, it seemed like he was breathing his last. I don't know what to do with this. I prayed for him. She wrote me last night and she said, "He's in the wheelchair, he's talking and he's eating again." You know, I don't know where to go with that. But the one that's going through a divorce was a side-swiping experience for this person. it's been a downward spiral in her marriage. And I remember writing her back and forth yesterday. If you ever wanted to know what a pastor's life is like, three stories, one day, right? She said, Pete, I think I need to grieve because I've been holding on to the comeback story that is not coming back. But the love story that I have with Jesus continues on. Because he's God. She didn't say that, but I'm saying here what John is saying. He's God. And you can hold on to that. What can we know for sure? Reality three. We can know we have eternal life. 1 John 5:11. This is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I love John's writing. If you have him, you're good. If you don't have him, you're not good. So get him so you can have eternal life. This is how John writes. We have eternal life. If we have eternal life in the Son, and we can know that for certain, let's make plans about getting there. Have you made plans for vacation this summer? We have. It's a long one for Ellen. Pursuing a bucket list. But to plan for heaven, eternal life begins now. What does that look like? What decisions do I need to make? What do I need to make right? When I was in Ukraine on a missions trip, I got a call from my aunt. Your grandfather is terribly sick. We don't know if he's going to make it. I said to the team, I got to go. This is my grandfather. He has been like a father to me since I was a boy. Ladies and gentlemen, he was the one that said to me in his life, I see you. You're safe with me. I'm searching for you. I stand by you. You're safe with me. You're secure with me. I'll set a table for you. Every weekend he did that. How could I not turn back and go to him and say, Grandpa, or I called him Paka, I see you in the hospital bed. I want to be with you. I shared this scripture with him. You can have the Son and you have life. You don't have him, you don't have life. And I said, Grandpa, here's the prayer. He said, pray it and I'll pray with you. And that was my grandfather. We can know salvation. We can know. Have you read about the tragedy in Texas this week? It's horrible. I think if I read it correctly, it was 10 inches of rain in 1 hour. Something like that swept across this Christian camp of these girls and kids, and many of them are missing, and they're starting to find the children. And it just made me think about eternal life. Are we holding on to that? No matter what death we face, the next one is eternal life. As I remember, I said to my friend Nancy, praying for Bob, I said, what would you like me to pray for? She said, heal or heal? Heal him here or heal him there? I thought, what a statement. And so we have eternal life. What can we know for sure? This one I love. God answers our prayers. Why? This is 100% prayer life. If you want 100%, like everything you pray answered, here you go. Here's where you put your bedrock of prayers. Verse 14 to 15. This is the assurance we have in approaching God that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. If we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have requests asked of him. Did you catch that? Whatever you ask in his will, he will do. It's 100%. The question then becomes, really understanding what his will is, and when you understand his will, sovereign, good, loving, incredible, wise, then you pray with confidence. Then when you know his love, then you realize he's out for my good. He's going to embrace me, whatever I face. Therefore, when I pray, your will be done. It's not a resignation before God, whatever your will. It's a recognition that you're good and you know best, and I'm going to ask for your will 100%, and I know I got the answer. Do you hear me? This is why I pray this prayer many times, a few times, whatever, with the elders. This is one of the stories where I think of Jesus' life where a leper comes up to him, and you know what the leper says? If you're willing, I know you can heal me. He didn't question the power of God. He was just not sure about the willingness of God. And Jesus says what? I'm willing. That's the place I pray from when I pray for people who are sick. You are willing until you show us. So I'm praying that, yes, you're going to heal. And then until he answers. And so I see this willingness of Jesus in each person I pray for the sick. Just reading about A.B. Simpson and just how God moved in such amazing ways in healing. Oh, God is good. Here we know the love of God because he answers prayer 100%. Last, what can we know for sure? There's six. Number five, what can we know for sure? Believers do not live in a lifestyle of sin. In short here, what John is addressing, it got very confusing for people to know who is who. And so what John says here in a nutshell is, believers don't live in sin. In other words, they know the things that are wrong and they choose to continue to live on them when they're clear black and white things. Then you can make the conclusion. But then John says some things that probably, if you read the whole chapter, he says there, you can pray for people that are in sin, but he said there is a sin that leads to death. And that makes it confusing for people. The sin that leads to death is this one. John is addressing what happens to people when they cross a threshold. This is the one that Jesus said is the unpardonable sin. It's when the Pharisees saw the miracles of Jesus and concluded, this is the devil. This is of the devil. They've crossed a threshold. That's the sin that leads to death. And so John is addressing that. So those that live in a lifestyle, they may come back, and we keep praying. And this is where we see that eventually they do make it back. There's three enemies that we deal with. John has addressed this through the whole book: our flesh, the enemy, and the world. We know about the flesh, right? David dealt with this. Near the end of his kingly reign, he counted his troops because of his pride, because he shifted from his trust of God for his victories to, wow, the natural power of a king and having all these armies. The enemy enticed him. The enemy, we know, tormented Paul. How did Paul overcome? The grace of God, the love of God. True sons and daughters eventually leave their life of sin. They may take years, but they come back. Finally, what can we know? Satan cannot harm us unless God gives permission. That's a big one. Let me show you this one. Verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. Wow, that's good. Let me read that again. We know that anyone born of God does not continue practicing a lifestyle of sin, if you will. The one who has been born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot touch them. Here's a story, the Apostle Peter, Jesus is talking to him. And this is what Jesus says to Peter. Peter, Peter, this is in Luke 22:31-32. Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Wow, there's a lot there. Just four things quick. Satan had to ask. According to John, you're good. But Satan has to ask to sift us. So in this case, Jesus then says to Peter, I'm praying for you. Imagine Jesus saying that to you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. That's comforting. But then he said this, when you have turned back, I think, that's an indication, I think, that they let Peter be sifted. And we know that, right? Peter did what he did, denied that he knew him out of cowardice. He was a people pleaser to a fault. But then the Holy Spirit came, filled him with great courage, and now he's proclaiming the gospel in Acts chapter 2. Amazing. So he did fulfill what Jesus said, come and strengthen your brothers. Here's the purpose of our sifting, so that we may learn how to engage in battle to overcome the evil one. Watchman Nee is a writer I've been astounded by, was a strong believer from China. He spoke about Satan actively opposes us, especially during prayer, he said, to hinder us from drawing close. He highlights that Satan attacks the very act of praying using distractions and confusion to disrupt the believer's focus of God, of Jesus. He encourages us to be watchful and resist. So here's what he said, what blew me away. One of my friends said this. Pete, have you read further in his works? He said this, the enemy only has so much he knows he can work with you because he knows you well. And after he's used all of that, if you don't feel attacked by him in any form, get on your knees because something's wrong with you. In other words, when you're doing the kingdom work, you're going to be attacked in various ways, distraction and prayer. But again, John says we're safe. We're safe. These are assurances that we have. Did you hear them? Did you hear them? We can know for certain. We're living in a time where the delusion is so big. AI is promising certain things to us. Misinformation in social media, the federal government known to lie, news outlets writing new narratives. In the midst of all that, we desire to know what we can know and know for certainty. Here's what lasts forever. Living in the light and the love of God. As I bring this to a conclusion, I was thinking about this. I had a conclusion driving down, but I just changed it completely driving down. I remember in 2002, the movie came out, Lord of the Rings. I had heard about this production for a while. And so it was around Christmas time. And so we as a family went. My kids were too young. It was my parents, Alan and I, and my brother. And I remember walking out of the theater like, wow, where was I? Because this movie took me to places that's not real, but it seemed so real. I know it wasn't real, but there were some things in my heart so stirred. What was stirring in my heart? The longing for companionship, the longing for wonder, the longing for brotherhood, the longing to understand my battle and what God wants me to do. And this stirred me deeply. I could not shake it. I just remember being in this place of like, wow, that wasn't real, but it stirred something in me that is real. The kingdom of God here on the earth. We live not in the middle earth, but in the middle of the kingdom. And that to me is real. And so I raised my boys watching this movie. We watched it every year. It became their favorite movie of all time. And so we have these longings for a kingdom of light and love, of a king who rules with truth and freedom, a world that we can live in now, not just God bless America, but America bless God. So where do you live? What is your address? Heaven is now where you are. So when it comes to loving one another, if you look in your bulletin, there's a little green card there. Take it out if you could. There's in your bulletin a green card. Loving one another is part of the reciprocal love that I was referring to, living in the real. And for some of you, you can look across this room and see people that have loved well and loved you. And this is a chance. We're going to take communion. We're going to come. But while we're doing that, I'll bring you through the scriptures as we take this, but take some time maybe to write a note to somebody. Maybe it would be even a child, someone who's young. I mean, I get pictures probably every third week from little Hannah. Where are you, Hannah? Right there. You know what she's saying? By a simple picture, I love you, Pastor Pete. Every time she gets a picture. You could send me one on vacation if you want. Just put Yellowstone National Park, Pastor Pete. Take some time. Write somebody out of love today.